You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're back Monday through Friday. The Celtics are back playing basketball. Two preseason games to talk about. A win and a loss. Not that those particularly matter, but the Celtics are back playing the Charlotte Hornets both times. Today, we're recording after they beat the Hornets 115-112 at home. On Friday night, they lost to the Hornets 104-97, but there is so much to talk about with all of these players, plus an injury already. Let's get into it. We're the Rain and Jays. I'm John Corrales. Samuel Jamison Packard III playing hurt, joining us sick but still podcasting. That's heroic podcasting, my friends.
Well, I came on just to give this take. Are the Celtics better without Al Horford? He doesn't play in game one or game two. They lose. I got that all mixed up. I'm clearly sick, but you got the joke. That's a dumb thing people would say.
Sam Maloney here to join us with his hottest takes.
Yeah, I'll be on Adam Jones's show later tonight. Horford was hurt. I did see in his wife's Instagram story he was wearing a sprain, or he was wearing something, a cast on his wrist. And I didn't want to alarm anyone. I did notice that. And then they said he sprained his wrist, but he's out tonight. I think they're just being safe in the preseason.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. It's not much. In fact, Brad Stevens said that it happened in the first quarter. So I saw the thing. People sent it to me. And I didn't know what to make of it. And then they said he had a sprained wrist. So I went back and I was looking for any sign of something in the first half of Friday night's game where he might have like just been shaking it or shown any sort of anything that something was hurt. He played the rest of the first half totally fine. So it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. Probably, like you said, they're being cautious. He played, he was shooting, he hit a three after it happened. He hit a three in the second quarter, so whatever happens, that's fine. They're going to be cautious because Al Horford doesn't need a ton of reps. He's going to be fine. They'll get their timing down. He'll be fine. So that is what it is. Let's get to the guys who are on the floor, and let's just start at the top here with Gordon Hayward making his comeback. Now, not particularly great numbers in either of these games. In the first game, he was 2 of 7. For 10 points, he was 5 of 7 from the line, so that's where he got all of his points. In the Sunday night game, not much to speak of.
He had a chase down block.
4 points, yeah. A steal, that one block, that chase down block, 2 of 3 from the line. He almost fouled out. He had 5 fouls.
I was rooting so hard for him to foul out.
That would have been so great. But it's actually good that he didn't, because in that third quarter when he came out, all of a sudden he got more aggressive. And I think if we're looking at things that Gordon Hayward is doing, we're looking for those signs. I saw some people getting a little like, oh God, should we worry about lack of explosiveness and this and that? And then in the third quarter, or as this game progressed, the second game progressed, you saw Hayward drive a little bit more. Get a little bit more aggressive. He had that chase down block. He had an and one. So I think from what I've seen in now two preseason games and a total of 40 some odd minutes of action, 43 minutes of action, that it's a slower process than I think I anticipated, and probably mistakenly. But slowly, I think we're seeing little signs that, okay, he drove and got to the hoop tonight when he didn't on Friday night. So I thought it was good.
Yeah, you see flashes from Gordon Hayward. There's still clearly some rust there. It's just like taking some time for him to get some rhythm. But he also has like missed some shots that like some easy shots that I anticipate him making, and then some open shots. But then there's just like moments. I thought the moment tonight's game where he got a little excited, whereas Kyrie passed it to Hayward at the top of the key. Hayward drove in and just jumped, drawing the defenders, and like passed it right to Kyrie. It was had more space and knocked down a three. And just like them two playing together, you saw little moments of that. His little moments. Brad opened up the third quarter with a play to get Hayward going to the basket. He got the and one, which I thought was a smart move by Brad. But yeah, it's just him getting more comfortable, and you see he's going to be good. And you know he's going to be good, but he just isn't good yet. So you just have more patience.
Yeah, so it's going to take some time. I like what I've seen generally. There were probably two or three instances, mostly in the first game, where I said to you know, I was like screaming at the TV, shoot that, shoot it. So I was hoping that he would be a little bit more aggressive. I think that it's all going to come in time. He's been passing very well.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we should, if we're looking at the positives, he's been passing very, very well and seeing things and hitting guys like across the court, not just seeing guys as they're cutting, which he did, but
he had that one crazy skip pass to Kyrie in the corner. I know exactly what you're talking about when you say that.
Yeah. So he did that in the other game on Friday too. It didn't result in anything, but, it actually, when Jay King talked to a scout on The Athletic, if you subscribe to The Athletic, which you should, he talked to a scout, and the scout brought up that particular pass, a cross-court pass to Kyrie. It didn't amount to anything. The timing was off, but he saw it, and that's something that most of the guys on this team don't see, and they're not able to drive and jump and pass to do that kind of thing. So slowly, you see the signs from Gordon Hayward. He's not there yet, and he's not going to be there for opening night, and he's probably not going to be there in for a little while, which kind of makes me, and I'll cop to this. I will say I feel a little stupid for pushing the whole Hayward coming back in the playoffs last year.
No, man, that's just optimism. That's gold.
It was optimistic, yes, but I think, and I'm admitting this to kind of say that, like, I'm admitting that I was wrong about how quickly he could return to form. It takes a lot longer than, you know, I was being wildly optimistic.
And hey, we were just hoping he'd come off the bench last year. I still think it's a good take.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But I just want to highlight that I realize now that it's going to take a little bit longer. So that's fine. But I like what I'm seeing from Hayward for the most part.
Like, even without Hayward going off and being super aggressive, this team scored 60 points in the first half of both of the games and 40 points in the second quarter on Sunday night. Their offense is still pretty good, and I don't even think they've gotten like the full chemistry ball movement going, but they still have the ability to just score points and score points quickly.
Yeah. Well, okay. So since you brought that up, on Friday night, they took 104 shots. On Sunday night, they took 95 shots. That, to me, is awesome. Forget about how many went in. They'll go in eventually. There's too many guys that can hit too many shots. They'll go in. 95 and 104 shots is amazing. And I don't expect that to necessarily keep up when they're playing better teams. Remember, it's the preseason and it's Charlotte. So, but to get that many shots is great for a team when we're sitting there talking all off season about how are all of these guys going to stay happy. Well, they're going to stay happy by taking good shots, but they're taking them early or they're pushing the ball. One thing I love that I'm seeing is with the starters, anybody that gets the rebound can just grab it and go. It's the grab and go Celtics. They are just get the rebound, push it. Doesn't matter who it is. And when Horford's in there, all five guys on the floor, just grab it, turn, and take two dribbles, and then see, is there an outlet there? Instead of the traditional grab a rebound, stand there, and look to see if there's an outlet, When you can grab it, turn, and dribble 2-3 times, now you're at almost at half court. And now everybody's running, and you're putting pressure on the defense. You're forcing them to make decisions. And you're just getting an opportunity to take good shots at 16 on the shot clock, 15 on the shot clock, rather than 8 on the shot clock. And that makes a difference. That's how they're getting all of these shots up. And everybody's getting a chance to get good looks.
Yeah, another thing they do, especially off rebounds and transitions, their bigs are really good at setting like early drag screens at the top of the key. And that's like everyone's scrambling back in transition. They're just getting set. Everything is approaching a half court. And then you're forcing them to make decisions. It's just something I've noticed the bigs doing, especially for Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. It just allows them so much more space for playmaking. But yeah, we're scoring a lot. And that was a good thing. I think we just see individual players. Everyone's going to get an opportunity. And so it's kind of each player will have like their run of 4 minutes where like they're the ones doing well right then. And so Tatum had his moments tonight where he scored like 13 points in 3 minutes. Kyrie went on a little run here and there. Terry had some nice moments. I just think that's the way it's going to be for most of the year. It's not going to be one guy relying on one guy. It's going to be just a bunch of guys scoring 15 points every game.
Yeah, that's probably going to be it. And then every once in a while, somebody's going to get hot. Like you said, Tatum, 13 points in 3 minutes. It's insane. And sometimes you're just going to feed that hot hand, and I think everybody would be willing to do that. So
I got a nitpick. I got to have my extremely douchey preseason nitpick.
Nice.
For Jason Tatum, first quarter, and I think just both of the games – I feel like he's got a little bit of that Kobe influence in him. He's taking some early in the shot clock, long twos, like ISO twos, just kind of, he'll either step to the side or move forward. As soon as we started talking about it on Twitter, me and some other people, he started just nailing threes. So it was like, all right, well, I'm not complaining about this anymore, but I did register that complaint. I think there's been more efficient, more better shots instead. Even though Tatum's that good, with all the talent around him, I don't think he should be settling for long twos early in the shot clock.
I think Brad Stevens is going to make sure that that doesn't happen very much. Brad Stevens is not going to sit there and let long twos happen all season long. But like you said, there was a stretch where he was up faking and like stepping in and taking shots, and then I tweeted it out. Got into the habit of like he had the up fake and sidestep so you can shoot the three. Like that's just he'll get back into it. I think the long twos is just an old habit that the Kobe influence, that's hilarious, but the Brad Stevens influence is going to win over in that one pretty quickly. So but overall from Tatum, I've kind of thought that he's been pretty good. I like seeing him in the post. He had a couple of nice possessions in the post down in Charlotte where does UNC play?
Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill. Thank you. Drew a blank. So down there. And so, but I think Tatum's been pretty decent overall. Some defensive mistakes. I don't think the Celtics defense has been particularly great. I think
no, Charlotte Hornets were scoring at will at points of this game with the starters on the court.
Yeah. They need to tighten some things up, but that's just preseason stuff. There's a lot of overreacting going on. I'm not going to say that's fine. They need to work on that, but that's a hallmark of this team, and I think they'll get past some of the overreactions. I've seen guys kind of know that they've made mistakes. I've seen the looks on their faces. I think that those things will get cleaned up. So we'll get to the rest of these guys. Before we do that, I want to just let everybody know that the Locked On Podcast Network is the number one local sports daily podcast network, and that's pretty big. We're moving up in the world, and now the NFL shows are getting big. We're doing this on a Sunday. Sunday's a big NFL day, the NFL day. The Patriots came back with a big blowout win over the Dolphins. If you're a Patriots fan, Locked On Patriots, go check them out. If you're not a Patriots fan, that's cool. Go to Locked On NFL or go to your own team. Every NFL team has a podcast, just like every NBA team has a podcast. Locked On NFL is becoming everybody's favorite daily NFL show. Monday, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. Wednesday, Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursday, Mike Sando of ESPN, and Friday we get Matt's picks. So subscribe to either Locked On Patriots, your Locked On favorite team podcast, or Locked On NFL, wherever you get this podcast. It's available everywhere. Kyrie Irving feels like he's pretty much Kyrie Irving. I'm not worried about him at all. Like, he's basically him.
He's still quite good at basketball and still quite good at making three-pointers, casual 4 or 5 from deep tonight, and then just getting to the basket really anytime he wants. I thought it was interesting. He played almost 29 minutes tonight, much more than any of the other starters. Mm-hmm. And also Tommy Heinsohn said that he didn't look like Kyrie was in shape yet. And so I'm just trying to put two and two together. Maybe he's just trying to get more wind under him. I was kind of surprised to hear Tommy Heinsohn say that, but I think he looks exactly like Kyrie Irving. He has some nice passes, nice drives, and then just the way you just forget how talented he is around the rim and just like jumping off either foot. I think he had 2 lefty layups in this game off different feet, and both of them were just like, oh, he's very impressive with the footwork around the rim.
Yeah, he really is. It's not surprising that he's out of shape a little bit. He didn't have the same summer that everybody had.
That's true.
It took a while for that that cleanup surgery on his knee to get those screws out and clear up that infection. So he is a little bit behind on his conditioning. So, yeah, to get him an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes tonight, I think you're right that there's a little bit of motivation behind that just to get him some wind back. The good thing is that he can kind of ease his way back into it, and it's not a tremendous detriment to this team that he's not in full condition yet, because Marcus Smart is back and looking good. Terry Rozier is back. Terry Rozier had an amazing start to this game. So the Celtics can work Kyrie back at a nice, comfortable pace without having to push him to the point of exhaustion. They don't have to overtax him. They don't have to, you know, crush his body to get him into prime condition for mid-October, because that just means more minutes for Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart until Kyrie can get into his full 35 minutes a game type of shape. So the Celtics are fine.
Oh, yeah. The depth of the team is impressive. Just because you see four guys come in and make an impact, I would say. Rozier, Morris, Smart, and then, well, I think we'll get to the Time Lord Robert Williams later, but
I love the Time Lord thing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really
so great. It makes me laugh. Jesus, it's great. Anyway, go ahead, continue. Sorry.
We saw the BWA, like the bench with that dude. Rozier came in and was all over the place on the defensive end and got a lot of steals, especially one that directly led to just a smooth layup for him, not a dunk. But I thought, and then Marcus Smart immediately comes in, starts diving on the floor. He made a 3. That was always fun. Tommy Heinsohn got so jacked when Marcus Smart hit that 3, and I definitely did too. I just thought it was like the bench comes in and there's not that much drop off. They're just still very solid players who can hit threes, and our bench is going to kick the ass of every other bench this year, just like Marcus Morris said. Just because it feels like, in terms of like solid NBA players, there's not like a weakness when starting unit goes in. That's the thing. It's going to be rare when every single bench player is in the game, because they're being able to just kind of stagger guys. So you're going to see a lot of Gordon Hayward out there with 4 other guys, or I think tonight it was Tatum with 4 bench guys. And that's just like how much depth they have. It's going to be – they're never going to trot out a terrible lineup, where it felt like times last year they had some lineups that were like really, really struggled to score, and there was really nothing they could do about it. And that's mostly just due to injuries.
Right. But even if – in the early parts of the season, you know, Brad Stevens is managing minutes and he's not overloading everybody. You can throw a lineup out there that was starting playoff games last year. You know, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines. Four guys right there that were getting major playoff minutes. Then you throw Daniel Theis in there, who's working his way back and is pretty important. And, you know, so they can throw an all-bench unit out there, and suddenly their all-bench unit is much more experienced and composed and has been through a lot more than most benches. So it is going to be very difficult. There are good benches out there in the NBA, but the Celtics bench has a little something different because of all of last year's injuries. When you bring Terry Rozier in and he's leading a second unit, It's not like it was at the beginning of last season. Terry Rozier is battle-tested now. He's been a starting point guard that's taken a team to the conference finals and within, you know, 10 minutes of getting to the NBA finals. So he's got a different level of confidence. These guys out there, Marcus Morris, who clearly, by the way, is going to shoot without a, like,
Oh, hell yeah.
We're talking about what Marcus Morris is going to be like. He is exactly what Marcus Morris is going to be. He is Marcus Morris to the day, to the end of days. Like, he is just going to shoot almost every time he touches the ball.
He was 4 of 6 from deep tonight. It was fantastic.
Yes. So, I mean, it was – and I didn't think that he took any bad – shots, really?
I have no memory of like a really ISO Mook situation.
Yeah,
it's mostly like threes within the system, and then I think it's mostly open shots. It wasn't the ISO Mook of pass, but it's still, he's aggressive, and that's like what the Celtics want at this point.
Right. So it's funny to say like, damn, Marcus is shooting a lot, but not once did I say, why are you doing? Oh, get him off the floor. Like last year, there were points where I'm like, okay, we got to get Marcus Morris out of there because he's going into that ISO Mook mode, and you gotta like check that. But there was none of that so far in the first two games. Of course, there is the caveat of it's preseason and we don't know what's going to translate. There's still a few preseason games left, but I always go back to a few years ago when, you know, David Lee was, we're running the offense through David Lee. I'm like, man, this could work. This offense through David Lee thing could work. And then the regular season came around and it was the absolute worst. And so we do have to throw out that caveat that right now things look great. There's just no guarantee that all of this stuff is going to translate. We're playing Charlotte in two games. Charlotte is not great. I think they're going to actually be pretty good. Miles Bridges looked great.
Miles Bridges is insane.
Yeah, Miles Bridges, like, give him the Rookie of the Year now. He won the Rookie of the Year in the preseason game, but he looks great. And
he can do everything good.
Yes, yes. So he's going to help them a lot. That's, you know, like they have some talent, and I think Charlotte could actually compete for a playoff spot. I'm a little higher on Charlotte than other people, but still.
I was super low on Charlotte heading into the year, and I think Jay King said Charlotte was the most boring team in the history of the league.
That's true. They're not exciting.
They're not exciting. Miles Bridges makes them more exciting. And I think Malik Monk's scoring ability, although he wasn't great tonight, and he got blocked by the Time Lord. they're not that interesting. I don't like it how the preseason, they're only playing two teams. I feel like it would be more interesting for at least us just like see how they match up against four different rosters than just twice against the Hornets and twice against Cleveland.
Yeah, but that's just, I mean, that's how it's been, and that's just how it is.
It doesn't have to be, John.
They're not going to travel all around creation. Their preseason is going to be against teams that are within general proximity, and they're not going to go crazy with it. That's just, they're not going.
They should do it by divisions. You play each of your division people once. I'm just trying to get creative here.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm not fighting you on this one.
Damn straight.
let's get to Jaylen Brown, who has been super aggressive. And I, you know, you and Jay were talking about it last week, where everybody's talking about all of these other guys, you know, Hayward's return, you know, Kyrie's return, obviously Horford, Tatum had this great rookie season. What's he going to be? And Jaylen Brown's like, hello, I'm over here too. I'm pretty good. And he's been pretty aggressive. And in the first game, the first preseason game, he led the Celtics with 13 field goal attempts and 8 3-point attempts. And on Sunday night, not quite as gunning, but still 4 of 8, 1 of 3 from three. Still out there, you know, taking the shots, not shying away from that, driving, all of that stuff. So I think Jaylen is – I don't know if Jaylen is kind of consciously saying, look, I'm going to show these guys because everybody's talking about other people. I don't know that Jalen is completely conscious of that, but I think it's still, he's still showing us that, like, all right, we should be talking about him more because he is really good. And because we've not talked about him much up until this point, he's setting himself up to be kind of surprising this season because we didn't have the expectations. We just kind of, we have them, but we haven't talked about them, I think. So I think Jaylen Brown could surprise because of, based on what we're, our baseline expectation is.
Yeah. And it shouldn't, like, I agree with you just in general in how we have talked about the Celtics, he gets much less of the shine than does Tatum, but he's still, he made a huge leap from year one to year two, and he has the potential to make the leap from two to three. Tommy Heinsohn said that this is going to be a hell of a story. I'm relaying a story that Tommy Heinsohn of watching television, but Tommy Heinsohn said he was watching NBA TV and that Isaiah Thomas, the Pistons guy, point guard, said that he thinks Jaylen Brown's going to be the most improved player in the league. And, like, thinking of his trajectory, he did make this giant leap. And so he doesn't get the shine, but I thought he's, I like how aggressive he's being and in, especially in shooting the three. I think the, it will eventually fall for him. He's shown that he's able to hit that shot. He had that nice, really nice play at the beginning of the Hawks game in the first quarter. Just like, I think it was a step back or stepping to the side around a screen. His ability to shoot off the dribble is something I thought he was only or primarily going to be a catch and shoot 3-point shooter, but he was able to shoot with some movement beforehand. And that's just great to see. I don't think he had like an amazing performance tonight, but he definitely didn't do anything bad. And, you're right. He was aggressive and knocked down some shots. But he's not, he hasn't been talked about, but I do, he's could, he has a lot of potential. And there's a reason he's like the fifth starter on this team. And why this team's so good is that just the, his defense and his contribution probably is like the guy who gets the least amount of shine out of the starting five is impressive.
Yeah. Look, he had, when I talk about the grab and go, like he's one of those guys that you don't think about Jaylen Brown leading the break or whatever, but I can remember probably at least a couple of the plays that you were talking about earlier, the drag screen, where Aaron Baines came up and set that, and Jaylen actually got a 4-point play out of one of those in on Friday night. And so he's able to do the same things that we're asking all the other guys to do. And I just like the fact that he is being aggressive, but like I'm going through everything. I haven't seen him or anybody else do anything so egregiously bad in either of these two games so far. That's two games. Like no one has done anything like, oh boy, this is a real rough stretch for this guy. The worst thing that's happened is Gordon Hayward has missed a few shots in a row that he should make. And that's understandable. I haven't seen any of these guys take a bunch of bad shots, even though sometimes they're not making shots. Every shot I've seen is a shot that, for the most part, that they're going to make or could make. Most guys are making decent plays. I mean, there you can grab one here or there. There's always going to be a bad play here or there, but nothing sustained. And so it's just been kind of a – for preseason, I've enjoyed from Jaylen and from other guys just a general kind of like I like that they're not making these horrible mistakes. I guess, look, the team's good.
Good team.
They're good, and that's it.
No, it's been fun in the preseason, too, of you get the first three quarters of actual basketball, and then a completely new set of guys come in. And it's like, oh, let's see what these guys are like. Oh, I'm a big Walt Lemon fan. I can already tell you that.
Yeah.
That guy gets to the hoop with ease. Yeah. He didn't get as much burn tonight. But I do want to talk about Robert Williams. It's first like a kind of extended run tonight. And you just see his potential and like how fast he is and how athletic he is. He had the block at the end of the game. Gave it up unselfishly to Yabu for a layup, but just his ability to like switch out on screens like that is kind of wild. And then you saw, I don't think they connected on any lobs tonight, but I think they threw a couple, and you saw the potential just, and the bucket he did get early with Kyrie was just like, in transition, he ran the floor. There was a guy shorter than 6'8 on him, and he was just like, throw it up, and he can go get it.
Yep.
So I was excited by he just totally changes the dynamic on defense of a guy who can really block shots, which I don't think the Celtics have had in a long time.
Yeah. So I want to point this out. So I'm watching this game, and, you know, I'm not the Riffs man. You know, like, he's in his own plane of existence. And so I'm watching Williams running around, and the analogy that I'm coming up with is, like, he looks like, and I'm a big dog guy, so I'm like, he looks like this kind of, like, if you've ever seen a puppy running around in a dog park, just kind of like awkward and trying to play, and it doesn't know exactly what to do, and it's kind of falling over, and like, he just looks like this big young puppy out there, just kind of like, all right, I'm supposed to go here, I'm supposed to go here, and it's kind of awkward, but you know he's slowly trying to get it. And fucking Riffs man is out there saying, yeah, he looks like Keith Richards staggering around. It's just staggering around out there. I'm like, yeah, that's also a good analogy.
He's somehow both Keith Richards and the puppy in the dog park. That's what makes him so good.
Yeah. So I just wanted to point out that little dichotomy of just mentally where we are. I pointed out after Friday night that, you know, there are a couple of plays where he's out there, he's trying to set picks. And the thing about Williams that I like right now is that at least it's obvious to me that he's gotten direction and he is trying to execute that direction. And it's a little sloppy, it's a little awkward, but he's trying to do the things that he's taught. And look, it's a simple little thing, but you know what? You know how many rookies are not able to do that? Like, the fact that he's getting it, and he knows he's supposed to be at certain places and doing certain things, that it's just now timing and learning and repetition and figuring out, okay, this is when I'm supposed to go. This is what I'm supposed to do at this particular time. But I can see him trying to do the things he's supposed to do. And that's an important first step for a rookie, especially for him at the end of the first round, who he's probably not going to get a lot of run this year. But who knows? Al Horford's talking about him saying, like, yeah, I can see him getting minutes. So who knows?
Yeah, no, effort is a skill, and so you have to put it, like, on display. And you can clearly see him trying. He's very active. Maybe that's why we notice his movement so much, because he's really just, like, flying around out there. It seems like on every offensive play, he's trying to, like, he's very active trying to set screens. And so I also wanted to highlight this quote. He's also trying off the court. He said that he told Abby Chin that he got to their facility really early today because he knew the Pats were playing and he didn't want to deal with traffic. And then Abby said, that's no, Foxborough's nowhere close to here. He goes, can't take any chances. So I liked that.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Foxborough is nowhere close, but that's fine. Good.
Hey,
good.
I like his approach.
Good for the rookie.
Effort is a skill, and he's got it. He's putting in the work.
That's hilarious. This came across my Twitter timeline. Coach Stevens on Gordon Hayward, quote, there was a small part of me that was hoping he'd foul out in the first half. I thought that would have been funny. I'm glad that Brad Stevens is on board with how funny that would have been. All right. Before we move on with our final notes, I would just like to remind everybody that there is a Locked On NBA podcast. I'm one of the hosts. I do the Wednesday show with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. And the Locked On NBA podcast never went away over the summer. We were there every day for you guys all summer long. Even when other national shows took a break, we did not. So we're here and we're still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national podcast. Every Monday, you get the local experts on the biggest story. In fact, this Monday, I'm on with Josh Lloyd talking Celtics and Hayward and Kyrie. So check out the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm on this Monday's podcast as well. And we are daily with 30-minute podcasts on everything going on in the NBA. So follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Let's run through quickly. I don't know what other stuff you've got on your on your list. Do you have a junk drawer? Do you have
any? Oh, hell yeah.
Yes. Okay. So before we get to the junk drawer, and I don't know if this is in your junk drawer, I do want to address, like, there have been a lot of whistles, like a lot of fouls.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Let the lads play. I get, like, they do this every year, but it's frustrating, right. But I don't, it's not going to be a big thing.
It's not. And I just want to point out for the people who didn't get the Boston broadcast, Brian Scalabrine explained it. And this is, like you said, this goes on all the time. There are points of emphasis. There's a freedom of movement effort here. So a little hooking around the waist, anything that prevents guys from freedom of movement, they're going to start calling that. In the preseason, they call it a lot. And that's so guys can get the message that we're not going to be, you know, we're going to be calling that this season. It's going to fade away a little bit because it does disrupt the flow of the game. But it's also going to fade away a little bit over the course of the first few months of the season when guys get the message that they can't do that because that's a foul. So it sucks right now. It sucks. But it will dissipate. So some of it's a little crazy. Some of it is, you know, refs are kind of getting themselves together. It's preseason for everybody. That's one of the things that's going on. So, you want to do a junk drawer?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Jam's junk drawer starts out with, it's Tommy Heinsohn. It's good to be back.
He's so great.
He got heavy into his shtick with the refs, and it was hilarious. I just realized how much I missed Tommy calling the games. And I'm like not the biggest Tommy guy. I'm sure in like 2 weeks I'll be complaining about it. But it was just like, ah. I remember this guy. He still got the same joke, and it's still pretty funny.
My favorite was at the end of the game, they're doing a replay to see who the ball went off of, and they're trying to figure out, like, is it Celtics ball? Is it Charlotte ball? And as they're showing the replay, Tommy's like, oh, that was a foul. Like, we're not looking at that, Tommy. We're looking to see whose ball it is.
It's fantastic. And so it was just good to have him back. A lot of good moments from him tonight. At some point he was counting out, the free throws, and he was just, that Charlotte had, and he goes 2, 4, 6, 8. What are we going to do with these referees? And then he's like turned into a chant. It was fantastic. Micah Shrewsbury's got a cool beard now. Shouts to him. He looks like an R&B singer from the early 1980s. Terry the Lobster back throwing lobs left and right, and some of them working, some of them not. But you got to respect the process. Talk about respecting the process. Semi Ojeleye was chucking tonight. Fantastic stuff. None of them were even close to going in, but I like that he took them. You got to respect that. Taking threes, man, it's a cool thing to do.
Hey, he hit a couple. He hit a couple. Let's give Semi some love.
Did he hit one?
He hit two. He was 2 of 3 tonight.
Oh, man, now I feel like I'm slandering Semi for no reason. He hit two?
Yeah, yeah. But you're probably thinking of you're looking at Friday. You're thinking of Friday. I know you're a little sick. Friday he was 0 for 7. So I'm gonna give you the pass on that.
I clearly wrote that note down like after he missed the first one or the only one I saw, and then
so
man,
he
went on narrative.
He was 0 for his first 8 from 3 in the preseason. So you're not wrong, but he was 2 of 3 tonight.
Oh, good for Semi, man. Did he take the See what happens when you take threes? You make them. I mean, it's fantastic. I still respect him for taking the shots. It's even
Absolutely.
Better that he made them.
Absolutely.
I feel bad for the G League players who have to sit on the floor. Like, there's so many seats behind the bench, but they're just like, here, you sit on the floor for the game. It's like they don't have anywhere else they can put these guys. It's ridiculous.
I never even thought of that. Poor guys are just sitting at the end. Like, we've only got 15 seats. We've got, like, 18 guys in the roster. So you three just kind of find a spot.
Just sit. Like, I can see Terry Rozier's, like, rap friend and producer, Gunnaman, in the seats behind. Like, you can't make room for, like, Walt Lemon and the rest of the G League guys? It's fantastic.
They should be like Nerlens Noel and go back to the media room and get hot dogs.
Hey, media room's got some great snacks. You'll soon find out, John. It's a fantastic halftime spread.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Marcus Morris at the 5 was a thing, but I think I just thought that was cool. I think the Celtics are going to go small a lot. And so while they're doing that, they brought, like, you can just see maybe if Horford's not at the 5, they could use Morris at the 5. I thought that was it just changes, like, the dynamic of the kind of 5 that plays calling that they do. And so I thought that was cool. For some reason, Jay King and Scott Pollard got into some beef tonight. I don't know why, but
I missed that.
There was some guy wearing a Pollard jersey, and then Jay King tweeted something snarky about Scott Pollard, then Scott Pollard was like, that's funny, but didn't know if like Scott Pollard actually thought it was funny or he's like, stop being a dick, Jay King. So it wasn't that good of a beef, but it's a preseason junk drawer, so I got to fill out it somehow.
Okay, you do. I'm going to go look at his Twitter because I didn't see any of that.
All right. There's a guy. I tweeted a screenshot of him. He was wearing like rose tinted sunglasses inside the garden. It was very cool look. So shouts to that guy. He was right behind the Charlotte bench. Brad Wanamaker. I don't know why, but he looks like he's just a player of yesteryear. He looks like he's from an earlier generation. And I can't explain it, but that's just like the old, like he looks different. And I don't know why.
Okay.
Anything? Like, I don't – nothing? He just looks like a basketball player to you? He doesn't look like he's from 1994?
So can I be honest with you? I don't even know what you just said because I'm reading Scott Pollard's Twitter.
I said – that's fair. What? I said Brad Wanamaker looks like a player of yesteryear. He looks like he comes straight from, like, 1994.
You know, I stand by my no comment. I have no comment on that.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then finally, Jason Tatum has an individual handshake with every single player on the roster. It's different, and I think that's a good sign because people don't know this, but that's how the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004. Orlando Cabrera had the same thing. And then me and my friend Zach, during the ALCS, we would replicate the handshakes during the game, and that's how they came back from the down 0-3. So team handshake is very important, so I'm glad to see Tatum taking the initiative there. Good from the young fella.
So breaking news, Celtics are favored to win the World Series.
They should, yeah, at least in six.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it? Last note? Last junk drawer?
Those are all the junk.
All right. That's good. Good junk. Good podcast. I think that's a good place to end it. Celtics play again on Tuesday. So we'll
against the defending Eastern Conference champions, Tristan Thompson and the Cavaliers. Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath when these two playoff foes come together.
Oh, seriously, Tristan Thompson is a clown for saying that the other day. Like, oh, yeah, I think the East still goes through us. Like, for real, dude? Come on. Come on.
I mean, technically, if you're throwing out sports cliches, it goes through them. They won it last year.
I guess. So the Celtics play again Tuesday night, so we'll podcast. So obviously we'll be back. We're daily, but our next post-game podcast is that. And then they play again Saturday, so we'll podcast about that Sunday night for the Monday show. And then Celtics get a week plus off before they open up against the Sixers on Tuesday the 16th. So that's the layout. That's the schedule. We'll be here daily throughout all of it. I hope you enjoyed the show enough. If you're new, welcome. I really want to welcome all the new listeners. We're picking up some new ones all along the way. And hope you enjoyed this. This is kind of what you get after games, and this season, hopefully, we'll look, instead of doing it over Skype, we'll be doing it in person, which is great. So subscribe. We hope you're enjoying this enough to become a subscriber. Wherever you find your podcast, search Locked On Celtics. If you are a subscriber, you know what I want. 5-star ratings. Sustains me. Gives me lifeblood. And also raises us up through the ranks. Gets us into those top 100. We want to get closer to the top, so 5-star reviews are highly encouraged. Good reviews are highly encouraged. And then, of course, share the podcast, spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.